The new heart that you were given at the point of your salvation already wants to do everything God says to do. You already have the desire.
Dr. Tony Evans explains why we don't always act on that desire.
You know why we don't obey enough? We're not in love enough. It is love that drives obedience.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. God calls us to be doers of the word, not just hearers. But being a doer takes a kind of discipline many of us struggle with. Let's join Dr. Evans as he explains how we can find the motivation and muscle we need to develop obedience.
Now, I know under the sound of my voice, the word obedience can cause consternation. It can cause consternation for a number of reasons. One is, I don't want to obey. Another is, I want to and I try to, but it doesn't work. I really do want to, but for some reason, I leave church excited about what I heard, know what I need to do, but something goes wrong when I walk out, and I seem to be unable to obey, but I want to. And it's dawned on me that the problem often is we do not fully understand the true concept of obedience as it's related to the new covenant and this new arrangement that God has made with you about obedience. And because we don't understand it, we view it wrong. And because we view it wrong, we're unable to apply it in terms of living everyday life obediently. So I want to recast the term obedience into this context of the spiritual growth series we're going through so that you can relate to it perhaps a little bit differently than you may have ever heard it before. The first thing I want to do is I want to establish with you the foundational concept of obedience in this new arrangement that God has with us. Now, for those of you who may not have been tracking through the series, God has a new arrangement that he makes with a person who comes to Jesus Christ. It's called a new covenant, where he places inside the believer a brand new heart or disposition that is made up of a whole new set of inclinations. That is a new orientation to life that's placed in seed form, like a woman getting pregnant, deep down within the deposit of your soul. Deep down in your soul, a brand new life was implanted there. Now watch this. Philippians chapter 2 is our first scripture. Philippians chapter 2. A scripture you've heard many times. I want to briefly look at it again to set the tone for this foundation. Philippians 2:12 reads this way. So then, my beloved, he's talking to Christians, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now, we've all grown up hearing this verse, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, not knowing what in the world it meant. There are a number of reasons that you might obey. One reason you might obey is because you're made to. That's the position of a slave. Somebody with a whip over you saying, you better do it or else. Now, that's not happy obedience. To have somebody with a whip over you. You better do this or else. Many of us look at obedience to God that way. I better obey because he might zap me. And you may be very obedient, you're just not happy about it. So some people obey because they have to. Other people obey because they need to. You do what your boss says because you need your job. You need to. You need to obey. It's in your best interest to obey. But neither of those represents the best definition of obedience or the best motivation for obedience. The kind of obedience you want is obedience because you want to. You see, the more you want to do it, watch this, the more you will do it. You see, when you want to obey, then you obey because you're motivated to obey. And no matter where you are in your obedience right now, you want to get to the want to. Because the more you want to, the more you will. You got to follow me here. He says, Paul says, I want you to work out your own salvation. Now, he's not telling you how to get to heaven because he already says you're Christians. He says you're my beloved. You're believers in the same Lord. No, what he's saying is, I want you to work out because it's already in. You can't work something out that's not already in. They've already received Jesus Christ. He wants them to work out this new life that has been deposited in them. It dawned on me as I was contemplating our message today that most of us do not look at obedience as working out something already there. We look at obedience as something that I'm supposed to do simply out of responsibility. Now, don't miss me. It is a responsibility to obey, but it is more than merely a responsibility. For many of us, hearing the word obey seems like a religious responsibility, a religious duty, or to put it another way, most of us obey out of law rather than obey out of grace. True obedience is not gritting your teeth and doing the right thing. That's not true obedience. That's compliance. True obedience is doing on the outside what you really want to do on the inside. True obedience, obedience as it is meant to be done, is not gritting your teeth and doing what you don't want to do. It's joyfully doing what you really do want to do. That's why he can say in verse 13, for it is God who has at work in you both to will and to work for his good, what? Pleasure. Notice the word pleasure is brought in line with our responsibility to obey. He says it should be pleasurable to obey because God is pleasured in the obedience and because you're working on the outside what he's working on the inside. Now watch this now. If obedience on the outside, what I'm supposed to do, becomes disconnected from my understanding of the inside, then I'm not sharing his good pleasure in what I'm doing. The new covenant says that you obey out of relationship, not merely out of duty. Let me say that again. The new covenant, the new arrangement that God has with you is that he's placed a nature within you, now here it is, that already desires to do what God wants. Now see, most of us don't know that. The new heart that you were given at the point of your salvation already wants to do everything God says to do. You already have the desire. Second point. St. John 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word, And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance of all that I've said to you. Now, please notice verse 23 and 24. In 23 and 24, he says, your obedience is connected with your love. He says, if you love me, you will keep my word. Notice what he doesn't say. If you love me, you better keep my word. We're used to you better. You oughta. You shoulda. You coulda. Jesus says, no, if you love me, you will. If you don't love me, you won't. So if you don't, it's because love is lacking. If you do, it's because love is vibrant. Because love will affect obedience. You know why we don't obey enough? We're not in love enough. You follow me? It is love that drives obedience. Our problem is fundamentally not obedience. Our problem is love, which affects obedience. The reason why we don't do for one another like we used to do for one another is we don't love one another like we used to love one another. And so with the decline of love comes the decline of obedience or the merely functioning in compliance. He says, if you love me, you will. If you don't love me, you won't. In other words, my obedience is the overflow of my love. So rather than spending all of our time, you got to spend time on obedience because God has standards. And sometimes you have to start with compliance, simply because things are just right versus wrong, and you should do the right and not do the wrong. But sooner or later, if it's only compliance, you're going to get tired of it. And it's not going to last. Or it will last and you'll be miserable every moment that it does last. You see, what we've done is replaced grace with law. We've replaced love with rules. And so we don't enjoy the rules because we don't see the love.
Dr. Evans will have more on what motivates our obedience when he continues this lesson from his series, The Essentials of Spiritual Growth. It's a 2-volume, 16-lesson collection that'll take you one by one through the influences and activities that either contribute to our spiritual growth or stand in its way. You'll discover new ways to resist temptation and sin, learn to hold on to the lifelines of God's Word and prayer, grab hold of your new identity, and move on toward maturity. Here's the good news. For a few more days, you can get this giant powerhouse collection of messages as our gift when you help us keep Tony's teaching on this station by making a donation of any amount. So visit us today at tonyevans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222 to make the arrangements before time runs out on this special offer. Again, that's tonyevans.org or call us day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. Right now, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's lesson.
The principle is true obedience is doing what you really do want to do. Because the new nature really does want to do everything God's word says that God wants done, because God has written his word on your heart, not just in the Bible. It's already there. It's already ready to respond. All God needs from you is the willingness. Okay, I want to cultivate a relationship because I choose to respond to you. In James chapter 1, James is a very interesting apostle. He's kind of an in-your-face kind of guy. He says, my beloved brethren, chapter 1, verse 19, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. I want you to be quick to hear, what does God want? In other words, ask that question first. Quick to that one. Okay? What does God want in this situation? I want to be quick to hear the word of God. Be slow to speak. In other words, once you are quick to hear, be slow to speak. Don't, once you hear what God says, react to it too quickly. Don't just react. Why? Because in the flesh, the flesh will not want to do a lot that God says do, so be slow to anger. He says, be quick to hear what God says. Job says, when I was silent, then I heard from God. When I stop arguing and trying to fix it up myself, the anger of man does not help the program of God. You getting angry doesn't solve a thing. He then says, remove the calluses, verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all the remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word, here's the key word, implanted, which is able to save your souls or deliver you. Here's what he's saying. The things that you can identify that are getting in the way of you hearing the word and having the word transform you, remove them. Now, why is he saying remove them? He's saying remove them because they're covering the sensitive skin of the new heart. And we want to get to the new heart because that's where you can feel the want to. The want to has been covered up by all this crud, by all this stuff. But you really do want to. It's just planted way down deep in there. So we got to cut away all of the crud that is getting in the way. Well, you say, well, what's going to motivate me to cut away the crud? What's going to motivate you to cut away the crud is what's under it. What's under it is something that's full of joy. What's under it is something that's full of peace. What's under it is the good pleasure of God. It really is there. He says, prove yourselves to be doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man. The Greek word man there means male. He is a male who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten the kind of person he was. Here is the key to moving from a hearer of the word and becoming a doer of the word. A doer of the word not only wants to read the Bible, not only wants to hear the preacher preach the Bible, but here it is, they want to see themselves in the Bible. In other words, God wants you to read the Bible like looking at a mirror, looking for you. And when you see you, you have now connected with the new nature. When you see you spiritually, because you've looked at the Bible or heard the Bible, you are looking at you. And he says, and when you see you in the mirror of the word and respond to what you see, because the Holy Spirit turned up the dimmer light and let you see you, guess what he says, verse 25. One who looks intently at the perfect law, because the word of God is perfect in every detail, the law of liberty. He doesn't say Bible. He says the law that will set you free and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. This man shall be blessed in what he does. Watch this now. He says, I want you to be in the mirror. Don't just hurry up and read a verse. Look in the mirror. Just be turning and stuff. Just let me see me. And I'm going to look till I'm satisfied that I see me. See, it's not enough to say, that was a good sermon in church today. What you really want to leave church saying is, I saw me. See, I get excited when members come up to me and say, you were talking to me today. See, when you see you, that means the Holy Spirit has connected the paper with the new nature. And when the Holy Spirit connects the paper, the word of God written, with the new nature, the word of God already written on your heart, he creates a want to. See that? See, when you hear the word and you say, Pastor, you are talking to me, the Holy Spirit has created a want to. And when the Holy Spirit creates a want to, that's the new nature. When you act on the new want-to that the new nature has, you say, well, what if I'm struggling to act on it? He says, he who, verse 25, abides. He says, don't read on, hang out there for a while. The word abide means hang out. You want to hang out there for a while. Because once the Holy Spirit grabs the new heart and connects you with the written word, if you hang out there, by hanging out there, staying there, not going anywhere, he will invoke in you a change. If you abide, because you look intently into the law that sets you free, and then based on what you see, act on it, you shall be blessed. Because the new nature has already been constructed to respond and to want to. New nature's already been set up there. It's like a calculator. You don't have to tell a calculator to compute. All that's built into the inner workings of a calculator. All you need to do is to feed it the right information. One plus one, you feed it that, the system has been set up to give you the right response. The new nature has been set up to give you the right response. So you know what we must all do? We must stop auditing the Christian life and start taking it for credit. Auditing is coming and getting the information, but you don't get any of the credit. Taking it for credit does mean that there's some work to do, but it means you're blessed with a grade at the end. But we have a teacher, the Holy Spirit, who will make it easy for everybody to pass.
Dr. Evans will come back with a final illustration for us in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to get a copy of today's message to review on your own or share with someone else, the title to ask about is Obedience, the Response of Spiritual Growth. You can request it as a standalone message or part of Dr. Evans' two-volume series, The Essentials of Spiritual Growth. Yours for a short time longer is our thank you gift when you make a donation of any amount to help us keep bringing you this program each day. But don't wait. This special offer is about to run out. Make a point of calling us today at 1-800-800-3222 to make the arrangements. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222 or visit TonyEvans.org. While you're there, get the latest on Tony's new movie, Kingdom Men Rising, coming to theaters April 29th and 30th. It's a powerful look at what it really takes to man up God's way. You'll get to meet Tony's dad and learn about their special relationship. Also featured will be Kirk Franklin, Troy Vincent, Tony Dungy, John Kitna, and others. Again, Kingdom Men Rising is coming to a select theater near you on April 29th and 30th. And as always, TonyEvans.org is the place to go for more information. Dr. Evans has been talking recently about things that contribute to our spiritual growth. Tomorrow, he'll tell us about the biggest issue that stands in its way, the problem of sin. Right now, though, he's back to wrap up today's lesson with this story.
Sunflowers are beautiful flowers that start off as tiny sprouts. The reason sunflowers are called sunflowers is because they follow the sun. The sun rises in the east, the sunflower will point east. Sets in the west, it will point west. It will adjust its direction to wherever the sun is coming from. That's why they're called sunflowers. They throw off a lot of seeds, a lot of productivity, because they're always looking for the sun. They always locate the S-U-N. And because they always are looking for the S-U-N, they're always growing and they're always throwing off a lot of seed. When you and I look for the S-O-N, like the sunflower looks for the S-U-N, then we will find the effects of his rays softening our hearts so we can throw off new seed, new life. It is our response to the word that we really do want to do. So when you hear something from the word of God and you don't like it, say, my new man really doesn't want to do that. Because it really does. It's been written on your heart. You just got to abide in a love relationship and you'll see the transformation you've been looking for. You will see growth in your life.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative. and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.